And a very special good morning to our dear friends and family who have returned, and new friends and family who have come. Good morning. Let's pray. We'll get into our Sunday school. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that your grace, your mercy, and your love abounds towards us. Father, we thank you that you have not left us as orphans. Father, you've not left us to our own devices, but you've given us even yourself. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us, you are in us, you are upon us. We come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We bow before you, we humble ourselves before you, and we say we are your students. We thank you for being our teacher and our master. We thank you for being our loving God. And we pray today, during this time, open our hearts and speak to us. Deposit your word richly and greatly and deeply into our heart. May we not leave this place the same way we came in. May we not leave with the sickness we came in with. May we not leave with disease we came in with. May we not leave with troubles that we came in with. But we cast everything upon you because you care for us. We roll all our works and all our ways upon you because you care for us. Lord, you know the desires of our heart before we even ask. And with boldness and confidence, we know we can come before you, and we do come before you. And we say, Lord, help us with these things. And we know, Lord, because you love us and because you want to see us have joy and have peace, that you will do the things, Father, that we bring before you. Lord, we want to become like Jesus. Lord, we don't want to stay like the old man. We don't want to stay like the worldly man. We want to become like Jesus. And we know the entrance of your word is such a key thing here. And so we accept your word, we receive your word, and we declare that the word of God will bear much fruit in our lives. It will not be stolen by the enemy. It will not be choked by the cares of this world. But Lord, it will produce much fruit for our own benefit and for other people's benefit, and all of that for your glory. Help us during this time, Holy Spirit. We love you. We give you preeminence in this place. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking on a very, very good topic today. If you'd like to open up, does everyone have? Today's topic we're looking at, as you know, we've been looking at this series, Jesus, Our Example. And just very briefly, remember Jesus said, see, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done. So we are very, very blessed because we don't stand in the world as orphans. We can actually come before God as we stand on the earth, and we can see we have an example. So we see the way Jesus dealt with many, many situations, and we want to look at how he dealt with them, and then we want to imitate them, don't we? Of course, that's what we want to do. And one of the things we see here is that Jesus himself had a relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, it's very important, and it's an obvious thing, but it's very important just to recap it. Jesus wasn't an island. Jesus wasn't isolated. Jesus came in the flesh, and he had a relationship with God, and he had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we know Jesus, when he was a young boy, he entered the temple, and he was learning about the Word of God. His family were wondering where he was, and he said, I must be about my Father's business, and he's learning these things. And then we see the Holy Spirit come upon him as he was 30 years of age and he was baptized, and he began his ministry, and he makes many references to his relationship with God. And it's just worth pointing out that, even though it's obvious, because God didn't put you here and say, fend for yourself, work it out yourself. When you're in any situation, Lord, how do I deal with this person? What do I do about my job? Lord, where am I going? These are really big things. And I had a group of year 12 students in the last week. And I'm just getting to know them, and I said to them, what are your plans for the future? How many of you know what you want to do? And three people out of this class put their hand up. You know, and they said, we don't know what we want to do. But you know what we know? We have a Heavenly Father who will guide us. He'll shine a light before our path. He'll order our steps. You know, we commit our ways to him. He'll bring his will to pass in our life. So it's very important for, I mean, a lot of these people I was talking to are not Christians. But for us as Christians, we must remember that we're not left alone. And because we're not left alone, don't do it alone. Have you ever done it alone? I have. I've said, oh, this is how I'll do it. And God said to me one time, ah, you're going to sort this out. And so it went very badly. And I hardly ever do that. If ever I do it, it's a mistake. But we need to keep that thing in mind. We have a relationship like Jesus did with God the Father and Holy Spirit. So let's look at our first verse. In John 11:41, I have a microphone here. If someone's going to read, we'll...
Jesus said, I do not
So Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And Jonathan was talking to me about this verse during the week, and because he's been doing a lot of study on thankfulness. And it's just a very interesting thing. What were you saying particular about it?
Is this the one where he calls Lazarus out of the temple?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So saying thank you for him.
Jesus was thankful that God hears him. Are we thankful that God hears us? You know, I'm looking at that and you think, yeah, I've read that a lot of times, but yeah, Jesus thanked God that he heard him, you know. God hears us when we pray, when we ask according to his will. That should bring a smile to your face. It brings a smile to my face. Now, sometimes something terrible is going on and maybe that thing is turning the smile upside down, but then if we stop for a minute and think the creator of heaven and earth is listening to me right now, he's listening to you right now. And when you ask in accordance with his will, what happens? He hears you and his word will come to pass. His word will not be null and void. It will do all that he sent it to do. So, Jesus had a prayer life and God heard him. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And Romans 8:15.
Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father.
Okay, so we know very clearly, and we know this very well, that God is our Father, we are his kids, we are his sons and daughters. We're not alone, we have a relationship. What sort of relationship? You know, there are, I don't know how many people are into some of these social networking sites, you know, where you can have like Facebook and all these different types of things. I haven't got anything there. I bumped into a friend yesterday, and he said he's got this page, and he was saying how for him it's a waste of time, and you know all these people want to be his friends, and he doesn't know these people. You know, and so we call all these people friends on these some of these networking sites, but are they really friends? So how is the relationship with those people? And so it's kind of you kind of look at it and you say, well, they might be called friends, but really they're not friends. Now look at the Word of God. What does God call you? God calls you a son. God calls you a daughter. You know, that's not like Facebook. It's real. God is really your father. You know, you are really his son. You are really his daughter. It is a real relationship. It is a real connection that has depth and meaning and inheritance and actually legal things behind it as well. Okay, we see Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it's 22.
Being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy."
Very good. Thank you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. So it's very clear that Jesus himself was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So again, as Jesus is our example, for us too, are we baptized in the Holy Spirit? And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit or you're not sure, in the book of Acts there were people who had been baptized into the name of Jesus, and this is something you can sit down with someone, sit down with pastor, and talk to them about it if you've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, because these people said, we haven't so much heard of Holy Spirit, but they believed in Jesus. So we see that there is something that happens there, that the Holy Spirit comes upon people. So if you're not familiar with that, please let us also pray. And from that verse in Luke 3:22, we see that Jesus acted a certain way. And God said to Jesus, "You are my son, I am well pleased." So what was it about Jesus that pleased God? We're going to look a little bit more at that in a couple of the scriptures that come up. But if we can turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, we start to see
Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the Scriptures.
So Jesus came to do the will of God. And it's very important here, when we see Jesus pleased God, what was it that Jesus did? Jesus lived a life of obedience. That's something Jesus did. It's something he modeled for us. And even in Jesus' lifestyle of obedience, do you think that Jesus obeyed God just by his own strength? This is an important thing. Do you think it was all up to Jesus just to obey God? You know, it's you might say, well, you need to make decisions to obey God and do things like that. But God also enables us. It's kind of like the power switch is there God's given us. If you turn it on, the light will shine, but you've got to turn it on. You've got to, by faith, say, God, help me. You look at the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. What is it? It's love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But can you wake up one day and be nasty? Maybe you could. All right. I mean, it's not impossible. So you can choose to be one way or choose to be another. But you can also pray and say, Lord, help me. You can also start off the day and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I give you this day. Work through me. Let your fruit manifest in me. And the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Justin, manifests in me. So you can pray in accordance with God's will, because God's will is that the fruit of the Spirit will manifest in your life. So you can pray and say, Lord, let that be the case. And God will work through you. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. So we notice straight away, one of the first things that happened after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit was what? What was that three-letter word that happened? He was led. So God will lead you. Part of our relationship with God, part of our relationship with the Holy Spirit is he leads us. These are very basic things that we know, but it's worth repeating. So God leads us. And leading is an interesting thing. Is leading different to driving? If you lead someone, is that different to driving them? Is leading different to forcing? It's very interesting. It comes down to a relationship of obedience. And so he will say, come this way. So the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Jesus walked in obedience. And I like as well, Jesus, in his example, was obedient to what the Holy Spirit was doing. Jesus didn't look and say, the wilderness doesn't look very fertile. The wilderness doesn't look like a nice place. Where am I going to stay? Where is there a 2 or 3 or 5-star hotel here? Jesus wasn't led by what he saw. Jesus wasn't led by the providence of where he was going to. And we know the scripture that says, though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Are you familiar with that? Though God slays me, yet I will trust him. You think, if God was to kill me, how could I trust him? And often, I like the example of imagining someone walking down a dark alley in a city somewhere, and there's a group of very bad people there who have very bad intentions, and God knows what's coming. You know, if God took someone out before that event, would you trust God to do it? It's like God will do things for your own good. Even when people were handed over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, why was that? So that their spirit would be saved. So, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. God is always about his righteousness, his best, what is best for God and what is best for people. So we can trust him. And if he leads us, we can wholeheartedly obey him. And especially when it doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter. We can still, as long as it lines up with the word of God, we can follow him. John chapter 8, verse 28. Very good. I do nothing of myself. There are times in my life I've really felt myself wanting to press into this scripture. And there's times I've kind of not had it as such a focus of my mind. In my heart, I think like a lot of us, we want to obey God. But there are times where I have been deliberate almost every day and said, Lord, today I do nothing except what you want me to do. And I'm praying along the line of this scripture. And another scripture, let me read John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what he does, the Son does in a like manner. So Jesus didn't come to do his own will. Jesus came and he did what the Father did. Jesus came and what he saw the Father doing, he did. Can you see this relationship? This relationship is not one way. This relationship is two-way, and this relationship is diverse, if you like, in its communication. God is teaching Jesus. Jesus is seeing what the Father's doing. I mean, isn't that like, don't we understand that very clearly? So in our life, we need to also see what God is doing, and we need to imitate. Let's have a look at Luke. It's not John 3:16, it's Luke 3:16.
John answered, saying, Behold, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandals I am not worthy to meet. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
So we see that the Holy Spirit was prophesied by John the Baptist to come upon Jesus. And we also know how Jesus left his disciples. What did Jesus say to them that they were to do at the end, after Jesus had risen from the dead? What were they to do? And just before they had to go into the world. So Jesus rises from the dead, and then they go into all the world. But there is this, in Acts we read that they had to wait. And what were they waiting for? They were waiting to be endued with power. The Holy Spirit was to come upon them. And we know the Holy Spirit came upon them. It was the sound of a great rushing wind. And there was like tongues of fire upon people. And they went out, and of course they were preaching, and there were 3,000 people added to the church. So it was quite marvelous. Do you think it's possible to go to church, and if we could say it this way, not really have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God? It's actually possible. And there are organizations, and maybe we could say there are people within organizations who could get up every week and read from the same thing we read and not necessarily have a relationship with God. So the question I want to ask you is, how do you make that relationship you have with God rich? How do you make that relationship you have with God very, very good? Maybe if you think throughout your life and think, who are the people you have the best relationships with? And then now ask the question, what is it you've done over time to have a relationship like that? And does that apply to our relationship with God? Can anyone offer us, just as we finish up, can anyone offer what are some things we can do in our life that will help us to have a relationship with God like Jesus had? Yep. So Jesus only spoke and did what he saw the Father speak and do. He spent time with God. Can you have a relationship with someone if you don't spend time with them? It's very difficult, isn't it? Well, you can't, can you? So you must spend time. How do we spend time with God? By studying his word? And yes, that's right. So what sort of relationship would we have if we spent a lot of time in his word, which is a big part of it, but then we said, doesn't matter. what sort of relationship would that be? What sort of student would go to university, learn all the material, and do the opposite? Would they graduate? No. Okay, what sort of child would we be of God if we learn the material and do the opposite? Maybe not a child at all. Okay, so that's very good. Learning his word, spending time. What are some ways that you can spend time with God just throughout your day? What are some things you do? We pray. I mean, it's an obvious one, isn't it? We pray. So praying. So we come before God and we say, Lord, and we bring a prayer list and we bring petitions and requests before him. So by doing that, we're spending time with God. How else? Worshipping. Doesn't that build something? Doesn't that make something special happen? And doesn't that change us when we worship? Do you notice that? It changes us. And circumstances are going on, and we come before God and we worship him, especially when we're singing songs of worship that line up with the word of God, that declare scriptures and that declare truth about God, because we declare the majesty of God, and suddenly our situation seems smaller. We declare God is our healer, and suddenly our disease seems not as powerful. What are some other ways? So we can pray, we can worship. What else? Okay, fasting. So when we fast, we see that in the scriptures, people abstained from food. And what does that do when we abstain from food? There is a fasting teaching that does come up. Well, kind of quietens our flesh. You know, people say that our flesh has a voice. Like we know, we go shopping. You ever go shopping when you're hungry and you walk past all this food? It's a really bad thing. Oh, that would be great. Yes, that would be great. They say one thing to do if you want to be wise when you're shopping for food is eat your meal before you go, or else all these things appeal to you. And then you get home and you eat one and you say, why did I buy that as well? And our flesh has a voice, is my point. So does our mind. God says, go into the wilderness. And it's not our spirit that says, oh, I don't like the sound of that. It's our mind that says, oh, will there be robbers out there? I'm a bit afraid. So our mind has a voice. So when we fast, it does help us to let our spirit man to hear clearly. Okay, so praying, worshipping, fasting. Praise. So tell us how praise will be different to worship.
You are appreciating the work of God in your life or what he's done for you over time. But worship is actually spending time in reverence to God.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? When you obey, obedience is actually a key thing we can do throughout the day. And in fact, sometimes in church when people have come and said, I haven't heard God speak to me for a long time, one of the things we used to do is say, what was the last thing God said to you? And it was very interesting when we used to counsel and talk to people, the amount of times it would come back and people would say, well, the last thing God said to me is, he wants me to tithe. And we'd say, okay, what we'd say, sometimes we wouldn't ask for the detail. Sometimes what we'd say is, what was the last thing God said to you? Have you done it? Because sometimes God will issue that and he'll wait for you to obey. So a relationship with God can be impacted by not obeying. We know that very well. So obedience, that's such a good point. Okay, so we're looking at praying. We're looking at worshipping and praise. We're looking at fasting. We're looking at spending time in the word. We're looking at obedience. What's something else we can do in our day? There's one very powerful thing no one said yet that someone said to me many years ago that really changed my walk with God. Yes. It's actually to come before God and do nothing. It's just to come before him. And that is such a powerful thing to do. When I was in college in, I think it was 95, a teacher said, if I can remember the quote, he said, in order to develop a genuine spirituality, we must spend unhurried moments where we simply wait in God's presence. So to spend an unhurried moment. Do you ever have an unhurried moment? Most of us, we're busy, do this, this, and this. But what I used to do is I used to book out time in my diary. And people would say, can we catch up this time? And I'd say, no, I've got an appointment. And my appointment was, I'm sitting before God. And I'd go, I'd have a study, and I actually had a room with nothing in it except a journal, a chair, and something to put my feet on. It was nothing fancy, it was a cardboard box with a bit of, you know, that was all it was. And I'd go and I'd sit there, and I'd just say, Lord, here I am. And I would sit, and I'd sit sometimes for 5 minutes, sometimes for 5 or 6 hours. And God would just speak to me, and I'd just quiet myself before him. And just, it was just such, when I think of the revelations and the insights, that's the times I've had the most powerful revelation and insights in my life. They're the times that have been where God has answered questions I've had for so many years, things I've wondered about. God has spoken to me during that time. If my relationship with God was simply every time before God, I'm engaging my mouth, it actually is important, just like a friendship, like Jonathan and I are friends. But if our friendship is simply me going blah, 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 that, I don't hear from him. I don't hear his heart's desire. I don't hear what's precious to him. So we see Jesus had a relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look another time at how Jesus often withdrew to what sort of places? What's that scripture? Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. He often went aside by himself. He was before God. Of course, he was bringing prayers and requests before God. But we know from the scriptures we've read here, God was teaching him. So he's listening. So very, very important things. Can you remember what they are? We pray in our day. We can pray to God. We can praise. We can worship. What are the other ones? Fasting. What else? Obedience. Quiet time. Okay. Study the word. There's a good set of things there for us to do. All right. Any other questions? Okay, let's pray. Lord, Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that your Spirit is upon us, within us. And Father, we declare from our own mouths that we will be your sons and daughters, Father, who have rich relationships with you. Lord, we will not simply know about you, we will know you, Father. Lord, I pray for each of us that in our day, as our day passes, that we will have time and we will make time to pray. Lord, we will make time to praise and to worship. That we'll be people who walk in obedience. Father, we'll be people who fast. We'll be people who spend time in your word. Lord, we'll be people who sit before you and who sit quietly and hear your voice. Father, I pray for all of us that we hear your voice. And Lord, as we hear, we instantly obey. Father, we pray that all our lives, that we will continue to go deeper and deeper into our relationship with you. Father, we love you so much. From our heart, Father, from the depth of our heart, we say thank you so much for loving us and for making it, Lord, that we can come and that we can know you. Father, you are not a distant God and you did not leave us alone and you didn't leave us as orphans. Father, we thank you so much. So we pray, Lord, help us, Lord, that every day we build a deeper and better and richer relationship with you. Lord, bless our hearts with this. In Jesus' name, amen.